It is good to see each and every one of you. It looks like we're heavily balanced toward the edges today. This side and this side are pretty heavy. I think people that normally sit in the middle got cold somewhere in the middle of the night and didn't come to be with us today, but it's good to see some faces we haven't seen for a while, so it's good to see each of you here in worship with us this morning. I know that our time together will be warm, the fellowship will be warm, and even as we prepare for worship, we've got a few little housekeeping things to take care of. There's pew pads at the end of every aisle. I hope that you'll take an opportunity to put your information in there just to let us know that you were with us today. If you're a guest with us, please be sure and sign that. If you'd like for us to follow up and visit with you and give you some more information about College Park, and that also helps the people on your pew to know that you're a guest and be sure and welcome you at some point during the service. You may notice that some of our young people and youth chaperones are away there at Ridgecrest for their annual Pilot Mountain Association fall retreat. And I've been getting pictures and messages from a lot of the kids through the weekend, and they're having a great time, a good time of celebration, and they're learning a lot and a wonderful time of fellowship up there. So please continue to be in prayer for them as they're away and as they're traveling home this afternoon. I want to make an announcement that our grief support group meets next week, right, at 3 o'clock. Also, book club meets
tomorrow at 7.
All right. You'll also see in your order of service under upcoming events, there's going to be a called conference on December the 4th. All this stuff with insurance changes, we've got some things we need to do housekeeping-wise in order to be in compliant with new laws and that type of thing. And also, Finance Committee will be bringing some recommendations on how to help us with our budget. So I hope that you'll be there to hear that and, you know, ask questions and have, you know, any type of questions answered. They'll be glad to do that. Also want to let you know, you'll see it there, the Thanksgiving Eve service. There's no family night supper or activities, but we will have Thanksgiving Eve service 7 o'clock this Wednesday evening. So come be a part of that. There's also a schedule of Advent services. It's at the bottom there, so you can tear this off and keep it in your pocket and carry it with you. And be sure and invite people. It's got all the different services through the Advent season, and you can have that information with you to invite people. Advent is a wonderful time to bring people into church because they're kind of wired for that. Advent, and they're in the Lenten season leading up to Easter. It seems to be everywhere, and we want to take that opportunity to invite people into church so they can find out the real reason for the season. So if you would kind of cut that out and fold it up and keep it with you. There's a note about poinsettias. If you would like to have one of those in the church, that's there in your order of service as well. Becky Haney, where are you? Right down here. She has an announcement for us.
Just a quick update on our emergency contact list. Chris and I have been putting together an emergency list, a contact list of people, retired nurses, active nurses, those who have CPR in our congregation, doctors and so forth in our congregation. And just want to let you know, when these lists appear in your Sunday school classroom, that's what they'll be. We're going to put one in every classroom. We'll put one at both welcome centers in the hallway and the new lobby, and we'll put some back here at the usher station. So I want to let you know what those lists are for. They're just emergency contacts. It tells what Sunday school class they're in, whether they're in 9 o'clock worship or 11 o'clock worship, if they're here on Wednesday nights, and where they're located if we need somebody in an emergency. Also, Ken Warris has been very instrumental in helping us get a defibrillator here in the church. It's on the wall right as you go inside the new lobby, the gym lobby, and it's right there on the wall, so we have a defibrillator now in our facilities. Also, Ashley Hohertz has very graciously been and officially been updating all of our first aid kits in the church, and she's getting these updated and getting those to places that we did not have first aid kits. She's getting those put in, and thank you to Ken, Krista, and all those who have agreed to be on this contact list if we need somebody in case of emergency, and thanks for all your work. Thank you.
Thank you, Beck. Appreciate your work. And also a thank you to Becky for your work in that regard, and we're going to ask her also to come back kind of the first of the year and kind of let us know how things are going and give us an update then as well. You'll also notice in your order of service there's an insert entitled Bridges. For many of you, you know exactly what this is. For those of you who don't, there's a word of explanation there. A wonderful time of fellowship to get to know new people. Here within our congregation, we have people across the two different services that are together, and it's really been a good instrument to help us to stay connected with one another. So please consider, if you have been a part of this, continue to be a part of it. If you have not been, please consider being a part of that. It really, you meet some new people and have some good intimate relationships with people that you haven't known before. You get to sit across the table and enjoy a meal together. It's really nice. So there's instructions there about seeing Jeff or any member of the family ministry team to be a part of that. So I hope that you will consider that. Speaking of guests and visitors and that which we have already spoken of, we have, hopefully you've given us your information on the pew pads, but we want to give you something. Our ushers are here at the front, and they're going to return back down the aisle. And as they do that, they want to give you a packet of information about College Park Baptist Church. There's a letter from myself in there, and there's also a copy of our highlights, our newsletter, and information about the ministries here at College Park. I hope that you'll take that and read that at your leisure, and certainly are delighted that you're here with us. Members, notice where our guests are, and be sure and welcome them. It's going to get busy if it's not already. And in all the busyness of the coming weeks, sometimes we forget to kind of slow down and to thank God for all that He is and all that He does for us. Sunday morning worship is one of those times where we do get to pause and to give thanks for who God is in our life and to praise Him and give Him what He deserves, the praise and worship He deserves. As we prepare our hearts for worship, I hope that you will, as the choir sings and as things are said, prayers are offered up, that this would be truly a time of worship for you, a time where you can relax and rest in God, that you can regroup. If you're feeling frustrated, if you're feeling anxious, any of those negative emotions, if you're feeling those today, I hope that this will be a great time to kind of allow God to reset your center and rest in Him. So as the choir comes now, I invite you to worship with us.
Our Lord, our God, we come because this is your time. Lord, we're reminded that When you created the earth, it was not a place you set aside, Lord, but a time. And we come this morning to give you praise, to rest in who you are. Lord, to remember that we are your creation and that all good things come from you. Lord, even now, help us to put aside those things that would occupy our minds, that would burden our hearts. Lord, that would keep us from hearing your voice this morning. And Lord, in the coming moments, help us to give ourselves to you completely. Help us to know your presence. Help us to know your love. Lord, help us to realize just how much you do for us and have given us, how much you love us in the many ways you express it. Lord, help us to leave here this morning changed by who you are. Lord, we offer ourselves and our offerings and our voices and our hearts to you even now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Invite all the children, if they would, come and join me on the stairs. Come join me on the stairs. Sit quietly. Don't push. Don't shove. All of those good things. We will wait on you. Jared, how you doing, buddy? We waited on you, man. We waited on you. So, do y'all know what Thursday is?
Thanksgiving.
It is Thanksgiving. What do you do on Thanksgiving?
Well,
you eat turkey.
Turkey.
You eat turkey. What else? Turkey, ham, and other stuff. Can I come to your house? Pumpkin pie? You give thanks? You do give thanks.
And
what's that?
The day before Thanksgiving, I'm putting up my
my Christmas tree.
Are you really? That rocks, man.
And my Christmas tree. It's really cool. It's all like.
How big is it?
You mean the.
How tall? How big is it?
The tree.
Uh-huh, the tree. Not the battery, the tree.
I think it's kind of like.
Is it taller than you? It's taller than you.
Yeah, well,
that's amazing.
The step, if you add the little step, if you can, I think I'm as tall as.
Okay, all right. Well, how many others are putting up your Christmas tree the day before Thanksgiving?
I don't know.
I'm not either. I can't.
I think we're going to go try to pick out one.
Go pick out one. Okay, but Thanksgiving, sometimes we kind of skip over because we're ready to get to Christmas, right?
Yeah, we're so ready for the presents because it's only 3 weeks away.
That's exactly right. But, you know, we really need to stop. Have a seat right here. We really need to stop and not skip Thanksgiving in a rush to get to Christmas. Why is that?
Well, because Thanksgiving gives thanks.
That's right. Well, that's the answer right there. You can stop right there. Boom. Because we give thanks.
Every day should be
Thanksgiving. I don't know about you all, but I had to learn to give thanks. Well, it's not something I come across naturally. Okay? When you're your age, sometimes I think you're thankful when you get gifts and that type of thing, but just being thankful and on Christmas, yeah, and birthdays and stuff, but it's not something you do every day. You have to kind of learn that, right? I mean, I learned it from my daddy and my mama. I learned it from my granddaddy and my grandmama. I learned it from church members. You know, we're constantly learning how to be more thankful. So my challenge to you is between now and Thursday, to talk with church members, talk with maybe your parents, talk with grandma, grandpa, talk with people that you see that look a little more thankful, and maybe they're a little older than you are, about what it means to really be thankful. What it means to really be thankful. And to kind of be thankful every day, not just when things are going our way, but to be thankful for everything that God's given us. He really has blessed us, hasn't he? He really has. That's right. That's exactly right. Be thankful to wake up every morning. So that's your assignment. Between now and Thursday, talk to people about what it means to really be thankful. Okay? Can you do that? And then you'll learn more about how to really be thankful. Okay? All right? Closing words for us there, brother?
Well, I just wanted to tell, I just have a question about that candle. Does it, if you put it, I don't know, out,
that's exactly right. At the end of every service, we go and blow out that candle, buddy. Do you rest better tonight knowing that? I will. Pound it right here. That's a good question.
When I have my lock and I am certainly going to sleep better.
Good. Well, let's.
I need a nightlight. So, when I'm, if you have a lock and maybe you should use a candle.
We're not going to leave that on, buddy. You don't worry about that. We're not going to leave it on, okay? Let's pray and give thanks to God, okay? Gracious Father, thank you for these children. Thank you for the fact that they feel free to speak and that they feel free to ask questions. God, we know that's how they learn, and we thank you for that as your children. Father, help us to be more open, to ask questions, to trust you, to thank you, in all things, in all circumstances, Father, to give thanks, because we know you want nothing but the best for us, and so we thank you for that. Father, for those who are hurting this morning and those who are having life situations that are not thankful for, we pray that you would speak to them, that you would give them your peace, and that we as the body would minister to them. Father, we thank you for these children, and we pray that as the week evolves, that they would begin to learn more fully what it means to truly be thankful for all that they have and that all of you've given them. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Thank you. Y'all go back to your seats now.
Don't you love it? The gift of children, how thankful we are. And speaking of being thankful, what psalm reflects our thankfulness better than Psalm 100, if you'd like to follow along in your Bible? Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is good. It is He who has made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. And then moving to the New Testament, a passage that means a lot to us, reminding us of our joy in Christ. Philippians 4, 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the Lord God of peace will be with you. How thankful we are for these passages that encourage us, help us to praise God, and help us to rejoice in Christ. Would you go with me before God in prayer? Lord God, there's just no words available to us to explain your power, your purity, your majesty, or to explain that very intimate relationship that you offer us through Jesus Christ, your Son. You are so amazing, you who placed the stars in the sky and formed this planet, put all the beauty around us for us to enjoy. You can be our personal friend through Christ Jesus. How awesome it is. Thank you. Thank you for your many blessings which you've poured out upon us. And forgive us when we forget to praise you and thank you for all that you've done and are doing and have yet to do in our lives. There are so many who are suffering from storms and devastation, and we lift them before you. We ask that you would help them as they try to mend not only their homes and their businesses, but their hearts. We pray that Jesus Christ will be offered out to them in this time of need, as well as all the material things that they need to get back on their feet. Make us sensitive and help us to hear your call to do what we need to do. Father, we lift up to you those who are hurting in our church family, those who have difficult decisions to make and are confused, those who feel lonely and set apart even in the midst of a crowd, those who are feeling the grief of the loss of a loved one during this holiday season as we approach it, those who are in the hospital. We especially lift up Bud Smith to you right now, God, as a church family, and pray that you would encompass him and help him. We pray that you would strengthen each and every one, and Harry Montford, and all of those, you know each one, Lord, who is struggling to recuperate. So put your hand on all the families, all the caretakers. We thank you for the many blessings we've seen in their lives, and many times we've seen people get well. It's been so amazing. But sometimes it's just time to go home. So, Father, when it is time for each of us, remind us that we need not be afraid of death. We need not fear it, for you have provided a place for each of us to come to be with you. And so now, God, we just ask that you wrap us up in your arms, that you hold us in your light, in your peace, and in your comfort, that you bind us one to the other, and remind us daily how you want to use us, our gifts or talents that you've given. You want to use our prayers. You just want to use our existence for your glory before we come home to be with you. Remind us daily of that profound truth and help us to listen to you and not run ahead, but to let you lead us. So we have much to be thankful for and much to pray for. So help us to walk daily in prayer with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Great minds must work together. This morning, as I was preparing for my morning prayer, it was my thoughts to incorporate some scripture. So it was somewhat unnerving when I was standing in the back to hear Krista reading Psalm 100, because that is what I chose out of the entire Bible. I chose Psalm 100 to be included in my morning prayer. So my options: I can remove, but because it is one of my favorites, I'm going to give you the opportunity to hear Psalm 100 twice in one sermon. So if you will bow with me. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning to worship and praise your name. We will, as a church body, shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation. Lord, we pray for people everywhere that you will help those who believe to believe even more, that you will help those who do not believe to consider the possibility of your love. We pray for our church that you would use us to accomplish your will, so that you will be glorified here and that your people here would be blessed. Look at us closely, God, if there are any areas in our hearts that have been darkened by doubt or disappointment. Light up those corners with your light, restoring your hearts, our hearts, to a greater capacity for faith. May our doubts, our struggles, and times of pain dissolve into assurance and hope as we journey toward your promise of Christ's coming. May our waiting be filled with new discoveries and growth in our faith. Thank you for the answered prayers this week. Thank you for your guidance and your love. Be with us this morning and throughout the week as we wait for you, with you. Amen.
I personally am thankful for a lot of things. Among that list are our choir, who practice week after week after week to come lead us in worship. We are truly thankful for you. We really are. And I hope that you will take an opportunity to express that to them, because they have to put up with Mary all that time, and that is what a blessing. It's a sweet spirit. Sometimes on Wednesday night I'll slip up and just listen outside, and it truly is a sweet spirit that they practice with as well as sing with. So, yeah, I have to put a monitor out there now. I truly am thankful. I'm thankful to this church body, and I'm thankful for your patience, because in years past I've ranted on and on and on about the fact that we skip over Thanksgiving in the rush to get to Christmas. And I'm not going to do that today, so I'll spare you today. Go back and look at sermons from years past, and you'll get to hear that rant. But we truly are not thankful people. Otherwise, we would not skip Thanksgiving to get to Christmas and gift receiving or giving. Maybe we can say that Christmas is a reflection of a thankful heart, and I hope that it truly is. I'm afraid for us as a nation that is not the case, but hopefully for God's people that is truly the case. But what we're going to read today is the lectionary reading for Thanksgiving Day service. Now, we don't have a Thanksgiving Day service. We have Thanksgiving Eve service. But I chose the passage because it chose us. It is this year's lectionary reading for Thanksgiving Day. And it comes from Deuteronomy chapter 26. You're saying, well, that sounds kind of strange to go to the Old Testament for Thanksgiving. But there's a lot we can learn from the Old Testament about God's people learning to give thanks. And I'll be reading from Deuteronomy chapter 26, the first 11 verses. So if you have your Bible, you can read along with me, or there should be a pew Bible close. I'll be reading from the NIV. Deuteronomy 26, 1 through 11. When you have entered the land the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, and have taken possession of it and settled in it, take some of the first fruits of all that you produce from the soil of the land the Lord your God has given you, and put them in a basket. Then go to the place the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name, and say to the priest in office at the time, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the land the Lord swore to our forefathers to give us. And the priest shall take the basket from your hands and set it down in front of the altar of the Lord your God. Then you shall declare before the Lord your God, my father was a wandering Aramean, and he went down into Egypt with a few people and lived there and became a great nation, powerful and numerous. But the Egyptians mistreated us and made us suffer, putting us to hard labor. Then we cried out to the Lord, the God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our misery, toil, and oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great terror and with miraculous signs and wonders. He brought us to this place, gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now I bring the first fruits of the soil that you, O Lord, have given me. And place the basket before the Lord your God, and bow down before him. And you and the Levites and the aliens among you shall rejoice in all the good things the Lord your God has given to you and to your household. It starts with a promise. The promise did not originate in us and then become offered to God kind of in a let's make a deal kind of fashion. Kind of, if you, God, give me what I want, then I will give you thanks. That's not the way it works. The promise originates in God and then moves toward us, as it says in our passage, when you have come to the land that the Lord your God is giving you, and then it gives instructions. Actually, God offers two promises in one in this passage. First of all, God's in the process of giving to his people the land that was promised to them. And second, he's given to God's people the chance to enter into it. The two are not necessarily synonymous. And this promise is more than just about real estate, because God extends a promise to them of home, of belonging, and most importantly, relationship. Relationship with him and relationship with other people.
Our passage in Deuteronomy today recalls God's work in and through the history of God's people, including us, witnessing to God's power to fulfill the promise and to reflect his faithfulness in fulfilling his promises. Additionally, the premise here is that hearers of every time and place, again, including us, are participants in this story. We are co-recipients of the promise along with our ancestors who first received it. So the gift is in our hand, and the next question is, what do we do with it? What is our response to that? Well, if you think about it, maybe we can repay it. Well, if you need to repay a gift, what does it become? A debt. Yeah, it becomes a debt. Can we repay that debt? Not a chance. Not a chance. You see, it's a gift. It's not a debt. It's a gift. And the very nature of gift is that we cannot return anything except thanks. Thanksgiving. Thanks for the gift. And yet, doesn't the concept of gift imply or compel that there's some sort of response on our part? Isn't there? There should be some sort of response. In this case, it's the tithe. And he's very specific. God's very specific. Whether we want to acknowledge it or whether we're obedient to it, God is very specific. Here is what you are to do. The first fruits, not the leftovers. We've got it wrong. We're doing it wrong. The first fruits, not the leftovers. For isn't another facet of the nature of gift is that it provides for us, the ones who are receiving the gift, not only to feel grateful, but to express it. Express it in a tangible way. Express it in intangible ways. So for us, Thanksgiving, if we think about the day, the season, the spirit, the daily practice of, as we were talking with the children, Thanksgiving presents opportunities to remember the nature of God's gift to us. But without guidance, sometimes we can be at a loss as to how appropriately to express gratitude. So God gives us instructions on how to do that. He offers in today's scripture a liturgy of sort on how to return thanks. Why is that? Well, I think it's because God knew that we would not be thankful all the time. Does God need our thanksgiving? Does it diminish who he is without our thanks? No. No. Rather, it's because he hardwired us to give thanks, and he needs us to learn how to do that. And so he provides instruction for that. This text gives us the very means of our rejoicing is part of the gift that God gives. So not only does he give us the gift, but then he teaches us how to appropriately respond. That's part of the deal. And beyond that, Deuteronomy here indicates that we give thanks best when we do it as part of community. When we do it with family. When we do it with our neighbors, when we do it with those who aren't like us. Wow. It says, verse 11, you together with the Levites and the aliens who reside among you. Now, he's not talking about space beings here, okay? You know, don't believe those shows. You know, those who reside among you, those who maybe are not from this land, recognizing that they weren't really from that land. He said, so in other words, in a modern translation, those who maybe aren't like you, your neighbors, those who maybe aren't like you, but we celebrate with all the bounty that the Lord your God has given to you. Why is this? I think this kind of celebration demonstrates that God's promise is not just for a few. God's promise is for all inclusive. I had somebody in the gym the other day say, well, you know, preacher, I understand about the Christianity thing, but don't you think that that's pretty, don't you think that's pretty exclusive? I said, no. The way I read scripture, it says Christ died for all. I don't see anything at all exclusive about that. Quite the contrary. It is the most inclusive of any, quote, religion that you can think of. You don't have to jump through hoops and do this and die doing that and all this other. I mean, Christ died for all. For all of us. God's promise is not for a few. It's for all who would believe, all who would accept. And that kind of celebration embodies gratitude that God's gifts are not for hoarding, but for sharing with everyone today. You know, that kind of concern for others reflects the offering prayer of the worshiper here in this passage today. Concern for others, a prayer that recounts God's deliverance of the Hebrew community out of Egypt, out of bondage, out of slavery to some man-made system. And we give thanks best when we acknowledge who we are. And the psalmist said it well. We are God's people. We are the sheep of his pasture. We give thanks best when we who did not create ourselves remember who did create us. And remember the basis of the promises that he offers to us. The promise of grace and mercy and compassion and peace. We belong to God for the sake of doing God's will. God does not belong to us in order to do our will. Sometimes we get those two confused. We give thanks best when we recognize that we are completely, utterly dependent on God. All we have, our faith, our family, our friends, material possessions, the whole shebang, deeply theological term there, all of it, everything that we have is abundant, and it is a provision from God who loves us beyond our minds' ability to comprehend it, or even our heart's capacity to hold it all. We give thanks best when we actually use the gifts given to us by our Creator, who takes joy in giving. He does. He takes joy in giving. And it isn't that there's not plenty to go around. He gives and he gives and he gives. And with God, there's always more than where that came from. A God of abundance. This kind of relationship between gratitude for gifts linked with how we use them for others reminds me of a story that I was told by a peer of mine in ministry. There was a member of his congregation that was really struggling. She had a debilitating disease and was in a nursing care facility, and her home was quite small. It was just barely large enough to house her bed and her wheelchair and her clothes closet and a little bitty table, a little nightstand. And he said, when you walked in the room, that's all that was there. There wasn't room to navigate between them. That's all. It was all kind of cram-packed in this little bitty room. And once prior to going to see her, he stopped by the bakery and picked up a half dozen of her favorite cookies. Now, stop right there for just a second. That implies that he had spent enough time with her to know her favorite cookie, okay? It's a relationship. And he bought a half dozen of those cookies, and he took them to her. And he explained to her, we're going to enjoy some cookies together. But I also bought enough so that the next maybe couple visitors that come in, you could share a cookie with them as well. And he said she was very thankful, but then she got a little bit sad. She said, no one who visits me ever accepts my offer of refreshments, even if it's just some tea from the nightstand over there. I had a bottle of iced tea over there. It said that they won't accept it. They're so focused on the notion that I have so little that they fail to see that it gives me great pleasure to give, to be hospitable. My friend went on to tell me that from that day forward until she passed into glory, whenever he went to see her, he always accepted whatever she offered. He gave her the gift of allowing her to give him a gift. Sometimes we're better receivers than we are givers. Other times we're better givers than we are receivers. But I think we have to do both. Understanding that it's God that is the giver of all things that are good, we need to graciously receive. We also need to learn to graciously give. You see, God does not want us to withhold from ourselves the gifts that are given especially for us. But he also wants us to remember that they are a privilege. They're not an entitlement. They're a privilege. And then he wants us to remember that we are called to share those gifts with others. Always for the building up of the body. Always for the building up, for the care and the redemption of all that God has made. And granted, especially this time of year, it's kind of easy to get sidetracked. It really is. With the busyness and everything, we tend to lose focus on the gift, and we pay more attention maybe to what it is that we think that we lack. Interesting little tidbit for you. Did you know there are more words in the Bible that translate as complain than there are for thankful? Maybe it's because there's so many stories about people in the Bible. Gratitude, thanksgiving, must be learned. It must be learned. It must be developed. And Paul encouraged the Philippians. He said, don't focus on what we lack, but focus on all the good that's made possible by God's abundant grace. Hear the words of the Apostle Paul, teaching us how to be thankful, how to be gracious. If we cannot think of anything else on what for which to give thanks, we should only look at the cross. Look at the cross, the ultimate gift. The gift of God's Son for our salvation. A salvation we could not possibly earn. And it's a gift. And everything else should fall right in place. Everything else is a bonus. Psalm 100 again. Give thanks to God. Bless his holy name. His steadfast love endures forever to every generation, all generations. What gift could possibly be better than that? Let's pray and thank him for it. Father, we thank you for your love. A love that is unconditional. A love that gives and gives and gives and gives. Father, help us to embody that kind of love. Help your love to flow through us in such a way that others look at us and they say, I want to know what makes them tick. And then allow us the courage, the strength to stand up and say, this is what God has done for me. That others would come to know you. That our lives would reflect your glory. Father, during this season of Thanksgiving, help us to continue to learn how to be more thankful. Thankful not only for your mercy and your grace, but also for the people that you put in our path to minister to in your name. God, help us not to get caught up in the busyness of things and schedules, but help us to rest in you and who you are, and always to reflect your love. For it's in your precious Son's name. Amen. We want to invite you, if you don't have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, I'll be here in a moment. We're going to stand and sing, and I invite you to come be a part, talk with me. I'll be glad to share with you how you can have a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you don't want to come this morning, call me this week. We'll get together and we'll talk about it. If you're here and you're saying, Raymond, I am a believer, but boy, I need work to do on this Thanksgiving thing. I understand. We're all right there with you. We're all in process here of learning how to be more thankful. Certainly you can offer that prayer up where you are. The altar here will be open. If you want to come pray here, I'll be glad to talk with you if you'd like that. If you're here and you'd like to be a part of this membership in official capacity as a church member, there's many ways we receive members. I'll be glad to share that with you. But take this opportunity as you sing to offer up your prayers to God.
your prayers of confession, as well as thanksgiving. I invite you to stand and sing with me now. Benediction in response, I encourage you to greet one another, speak to someone maybe you haven't had a chance to speak to today, offer a word of encouragement to them as we go from this place. Now let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you for this day, a gift that you have given us. Thank you for this fellowship, a gift that you've given us. Father, thank you for your Son, the ultimate gift that could be given. And Father, we thank you for your love that empowers us and strengthens us to continue the work that your Son began among us. Father, as we go from this place, allow us the opportunity to love others unconditionally because you first loved us. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen.